You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yes, it is. It's time to get in the ring on the Social Suplex Podcast Network for the first time in over 3 years. Holy mackerel.
Time has evolved.
Here with me, too.
Time has evolved so much in the last 3 years since we've done this. But this is a very, very special occasion on this. It's hot. It's hot outside.
The news
is hot in these streets. Saturday, July 23rd, 2022. The news is hot in these streets, as we know. Not even 24 hours ago, a big news dump went down. Let's go back earlier in the day.
Right.
Earlier in the day, Triple H, it was WWE said, okay, Triple H is back in the office. He's going to resume the titles that he had as like the leader of talent, EVP of talent relations. Right. So he's back in office. And then, not even what, 4 hours later? Like, because this happened
time, because there was a Variety article that got released right as the tweet got released. So the Variety had it. So this was clearly orchestrated for it to be today, for it to be yesterday.
Okay.
Because Voices of Wrestling and their breaking news audio. I've been listening to breaking news audios like all day. I listened to Observer Radio this morning. I listened to WrestleNomics. I listened to Voices. I haven't listened to what the Torch had to say, but I have the Torch Report up. I know that Torch Report is very lengthy. There's also a great op-ed by Joe Lanza on the Voices of Wrestling Patreon about the disgraced legacy of Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that's a fair way to describe it.
And it is. We're not here to throw out praise at this man right now. This is not the day to do that.
It's not the day to completely give him his flowers, no. And talk about his, okay, has he had a career that has changed a whole lot of lives? Absolutely.
Yes.
But we do have to be objective about Vince and talk about.
And a lot of people haven't been objective, and it's been frustrating.
That's fair.
It's been frustrating, to say the least, when you have one of the founders of a wrestling website tweeting out, like, Vince, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Vince. Something along those lines. And I'm like, wrestling would have existed with or without Vince.
Okay, now that part I kind of disagree
with. I think wrestling would have... It wouldn't have existed on a full-on national level.
Global. It wouldn't be... Wrestling wouldn't be as promoted as... Like, it wouldn't be as pop culture, as mainstream, as universally accepted
right,
as it is today without Vince. That's where I disagree. I totally, like, where people would say, like, oh, you wouldn't, this wouldn't be without Vince. That part I'll buy. I will buy that. But no, but right, we're saying there's not, a difference
this
between.
This is not the day to do that. This is not the day to evaluate that. This is a.
The article
is coming out when the. It's apparently coming out in a month. The Brian Gumbel Real Sports Beats on Vince, and apparently there was a lot that came out, and a lot and it's a doozy, according to people who have seen it.
Okay.
So I'm not the biggest fan of this man.
You made it abundantly clear on social over the years. You made it abundantly clear that you're not a huge fan of Vince McMahon.
And let's write what I said on my social, which actually got a few laugh reacts.
I saw that.
Like,
yeah,
you get a few laugh reacts, and I'm like, look at what this man's accused of, and you're laughing at him being a saint? Come on. So I said, let's not pretend Vince McMahon is a saint. He's an alleged serial rapist who used money and power in the wrestling industry to feed his desires.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of fueled it with my idea, which is he's an overrated creative mind who nearly botched every opportunity because how out of touch and micromanaged things needed to be. I am really happy Vince McMahon's gone and out of the public eye. This will make wrestling better in the long run. That's what I said.
Okay, now, the fact that Vince is no longer running or has anything to do with
day-to-day
and day-to-day operations around WWE, 100% agree there. I do think with a younger, a fresher, a way more in-tuned mind that Triple H has, that Shawn Michaels has, that... Kevin Dunn is done still with the company has in terms of in ring, and I think Stephanie McMahon will be fine in terms of the business side of things. She's done a good job of it on the business side, so I got no issues there. But I think WWE absolutely did need and has needed it for a couple of years. This part I agree with, has needed a fresher voices, fresher younger voices who are more adept to what's going on in the culture. In the cultures today. So I do agree with that notion. And
but the Vince has failed at everything else. And this is why I say he's overrated. Because he's failed at everything else but pro wrestling. He's tried to shy away from professional wrestling. And he hates the word pro wrestling.
Yes, he's way more on the entertainment side. He is focused... far, far more on entertainment and big names and big stars. And it's way more to a fault that Vince focused on, okay, let's do stuff with Roman. Let's do stuff with Ronda. Let's do stuff with Charlotte, Becky, Brock. All the big names that are going on. But for far too long, it seems like the mid-card and or those who are really just are way better at wrestling than they are at being like on a microphone per se. Or character work per se, they kind of get excluded or kind of get like thrown to the side, and we don't see that kind of pure wrestling energy that other companies have done and other companies have done far better over the last few years. The only exception being NXT 1.0, but even then, that's a lot more Triple H based, Triple H and Shawn based, to me, than it is Vince based. And you see the difference of 1.0 to 2.0, where Vince, when did Vince take over to NXT? Like what? Like right before they went to 2.0?
Right after. The 2.0, yeah. Right before.
You see the difference. You see the difference. Because 1.0, NXT, notoriously, for like 5 or 6 years, was WWE's best brand, and it wasn't close. They're putting on bangers on every takeover. And it was easy money. Like NXT was like, without question, was their best thing. Now... it's watchable, sure. It's still probably, like, them and SmackDown are kind of, like, neck and neck as their best brand. But it's nowhere near the energy that 1.0 was. And yeah. I think a lot of that was, like, Vince trying to put 2.0 in his own image. Where you have the big, muscle-bound dude as the main guy, Breaker, and you have the Bombshells in terms of like the main women, Toxic Attraction. Like, so like that seems to be really like the main parties here, and that's unfortunate to me. I'd like to see more. Like some of the best stuff NXT does, like Carmelo Hayes or Grayson Waller or Cameron Grimes, who've all killed it. Tony D'Angelo. I like some of their stuff right. Way more than Breaker, and way more than Breaker stuff, like in the men's division, for example. And that's always bothered me. So I hope we get back to that.
But I want to make note to the Voices of Wrestling, written by Joe Lanza. A great day for pro wrestling, the shameful and overrated legacy of Vince McMahon. This is on their $5 tier. We're going to read a lot of it on Patreon. I don't think Joe would mind because we're plugging it. We are. Go to their Patreon. Go to voiceofwrestling.com/Patreon. Pay the $5. You can read it for yourself. But I want to really analyze this article because I think Joe hit a lot of points here that I agree with, and a lot of points that really hit home to the fact that hit a point to what I thought, that Vince McMahon's overrated. So he said, this is a great day for pro wrestling. This is a great day for pro wrestling fans. He lists off a lot of the allegations. And in italics, puts the word "and." I think that's poignant. Setting aside that Vince McMahon is an alleged serial rapist, and setting aside like a murder cover-up, and the direct contribution to the Owen Hart, death of Owen Hart, and firing dozens of people during the heart of a global pandemic while in the midst of record revenue and profits. And you, it goes on and on and on. This, all that aside, he says, this is still a great day for pro wrestling and pro wrestling fans. There have been periods of WWE over the years that I have enjoyed. But for the better part of four decades, WWE has been horrendous on-screen product. Irredeemably bad sometimes, for example, right now. The creative vision of a man so insecure and embarrassed by the business he's in that he insists he actually isn't in it. Twitch Entertainment isn't just a marketing hook. It's a direct reflection of the man who hates the only thing he's ever been good at so much that he's lost millions of dollars desperately trying to succeed at something, literally anything else, bodybuilding, boxing, supplements, pro football, twice, movies. Yup. I think that's a big part of why this is a very complicated legacy. That he was only successful at one thing, and he did not stick to that one thing. Your thoughts on this so far?
That he's failed to connect, that he's...
Yes.
I said it earlier. Yeah, he does seem out of tune. I feel like he's been out of tune for a while now. In terms of the character development in terms of failing?
This is a guy, Joe Lander, doesn't even like the Attitude Era. So
I disagree with that. That part I disagree with. I'll disagree with that part. The Attitude Era was probably Attitude Era was probably was peak of powers, and the Ruthless Aggression probably
doesn't age well. Honestly, if you watch it,
not this. Yeah, you couldn't do a lot of the stuff of Attitude Era now. That I'll buy. I'll buy that. I will 100% buy that.
It doesn't age well, and I think the quality of it and like the short boom, 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 5-minute matches and 5-minute promo, it's a format that's outdated.
Yeah, no, it fit well in that time. It fit, to say it was bad, I disagree. But it fit well for that time period. He was obviously in touch then, and he obviously understood what was going on then. That worked. Ruthless Aggression era. I think that worked. I think for its time, and in some cases, some of that works now, that worked. I would say probably when things started to go super south, as in like, oh, things are going, things are this, like, there were some things that were okay, but then there were things like, what are you doing? Probably what? Maybe like 2013, 2014?
Yeah, that's what Rich and James said on, when was the last time Vince McMahon was an elite booker? And he said 2013, 2014.
Yeah, that's the last, yeah. I think that's the last time I would say, okay.
They did a show, too.
This is dope.
On the Social Suplex Podcast Network. I would highly, highly suggest you check out the YouTube clip of Rich Latta packing up Vince McMahon. It's gold. It's, I might play it here because it's absolute gold and it's absolute fire. And it's everything I thought going in. So, going on, Vince spent his entire career chasing mainstream acceptance and trying to prove that he was better than the wrestling promoters and in the wrestling business he despised. And he was able to force people around him to use his weird verbiage and build an insulated world where he can pretend that something he's something more than a wrestling promoter. Deep down, he knows that's all people will ever see him as, because that's exactly what he is. He can't run from that, and it eats away at his soul. Good. And I think that's the essence of Vince McMahon right there. I think, this is now me editorializing, that's the essence of Vince McMahon, is him running away from pro wrestling, running away from things he's good at, and trying to be able to be good at something else, and he was never good at anything else. It makes sense that I have been embarrassed to be a wrestling fan for most of my fandom, because the most influential person in the business was embarrassed of it and was caught, and it created an embarrassing product.
It kind of speaks to wrestling being a niche following, a niche sport. Either you're really in it or you're really not. And I think that still stinks. And I'll buy that. I can buy that. I can definitely buy that thought of, okay, oh, there's some people who really like wrestling. There's some people who barely know it exists. And Vince's quest to try to make it mainstream, I think sometimes he absolutely tried too hard. There are people he succeeded with. Roman Reigns, John Cena's mainstream. Since 2013-14. Like Charlotte's mainstream because of her name, but she's mainstream. Becky's mainstream. But a lot of it is I think Vince tries too hard. And I can totally buy that part of it. And obviously the outside of the ring stuff that you were talking about before, he can't escape that. Yeah, that's a different legacy all to itself. And to me, Vince really does leave two legacies. The in-ring legacy is obvious. Like, we see it in terms of, for it's good and it's bad. And we see that in a sense of his outside of the ring legacy, all the drama he's been into. Obviously, all the rape accusations now. The Time Warner, Ted Turner stuff. The drama he had there. Wasn't yesterday the anniversary of him beating the cases of what was it? Well, it wasn't Hogan, but it was another anniversary of Vince like beat the case somewhere, like another crime that he was accused of. But it was you got the picture, you got the pictures right here to prove it. But yeah, no, 100% that Vince, I think, has two legacies, and one doesn't escape the other, and in some cases, one's probably because of the other. Yep. think he I
muted myself. That's my bad.
Okay.
He goes on to not to validate the business acumen of Vince McMahon.
Oh, he knew how to make money. He did make a whole lot of money.
In this paragraph right here. But then I'm going to go through each paragraph of the overrated period. Okay. Because I think he brings up a lot of interesting points here. As a creative mind and star creating genius, McMahon is overrated. Some of his greatest successes were often the product of someone else's efforts, lucking into what made his failures eventually work. And WWE history is littered with examples of McMahon leaving millions of dollars on the table. WWE documentaries won't tell you that Hulk Hogan was already the biggest star in the world before Vince plucked him away from Vern Gagne. McMahon made the necessary business deal to secure Hogan, but didn't create the star. The alleged genius of Vince McMahon's creative vision gave us the Ringmaster and smiling babyface Rocky Maivia, two abject failures despite both Steve Austin and The Rock being considered as can't-miss two blue chip prodigies by literally everyone in the wrestling business from quite literally their first days in the business. Austin's now ex-wife accidentally created the Stone Cold character.
That
reignited and saved Austin's career after Vince's bad ideas nearly killed it dead.
Yes, I do remember that. I do remember hearing about that.
Was relentlessly booed out of the building and in a massive miscalculation of Dwayne Johnson's strengths and Johnson's overwhelming charisma made his role inevitable in spite of McMahon's shitty vision.
Also true.
The alleged genius of McMahon also gave us Mankind, which pigeonholed one of the most charismatic and proactive talkers and characters in wrestling into a one-note cartoon. Mick Foley achieved his greatest success and drew the most money once he shed the most derivative and constructive aspects of the original character. McMahon gave us ruthless aggression John Cena, a man you mentioned, Mike.
Yes.
Who was such a flop that McMahon...
He thought he was going to get fired right out of the gate. He even admitted he thought he was going to get fired right out of the gate.
Cena was goofing off and rapping on the tour bus, saved his career.
Yes.
Viewership plummeted, and the entire streaming service failed as the McMahon force-fed Roman Reigns to his fan base in all the wrong and obvious ways for nearly 8 years. Until
and this is where I think they went wrong. I think the part where Vince's creativity jumped the shark is probably the 2015 Royal Rumble, when Roman wins the Rumble, and I predicted it was going to happen, but like even then, we were there, and we saw it happen. It was relentless. Everybody dumped on it. Everyone dumped on it right away. Everyone immediately dumped on Roman.
Save it. The Rock.
Nope.
Dwayne Johnson could not save that thing.
No.
You had to turn him heel, and you waited 8 years.
Way too long to do it.
And then he adds WWE versus WCW, the biggest layup in wrestling history. Dean Ambrose, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, ECW, the reboot of ECW, Flair's first run, Vader, Road Warriors, Terry Funk in 1986, Polka Dot Dusty. He could go on and on and on with endless examples of Vince failing to understand what made these people stars, and as a result, ultimately drawing far less money with them than they would draw elsewhere. Despite all the advantages of being the top promotion in the world with the most promotional money. Even Mr. McMahon, perhaps the biggest money drawing heel in the history of wrestling, was a happy accident. As Vince saw himself initially at the babyface, Vince McMahon would be twice as wealthy today if he was given half the creative genius he's been mythologized to be. Even if I held, so this is Joe speaking now. Even if I held any affection or reverence for Vince McMahon, the wrestling promoter, which I do not, and I'm in that same boat.
You're in that class.
I surely wouldn't embarrass myself the way the feckless wrestling, pathetic wrestling media have today, tripping over themselves to praise a downright, indefensibly flawed, and evil human being. A 77-year-old man who has committed lifetime of literal atrocities and contributed to ruining countless of lives. A lifetime of beyond pale personal and professional behavior makes it impossible to parse the art from the artist. And even if I believe he positively contributed to pro wrestling, which I do not. Which, again, I assuredly do not. And I'm in that same boat.
You absolutely don't. You've made that clear for years. You don't believe in that ideology that Vince is the, like, end-all be-all.
These glowing tributes and thank yous are going to age quickly and badly, as it's obvious that Vince McMahon is ducking out now before the Wall Street Journal and the HBO drop the bombshells that would end him for good. When that happens, remind these assorted cretins that they chosen to praise, don't let them off the hook. Good riddance to the promoter who created crappy wrestling and made the hobby less enjoyable for 40 years. And here's to the well-aged crappy legacy. He said the S word, but I'm going to probably put this on Mako Radio. And murder, no sex crime he's left behind. I loathe him as a wrestling promoter, and I have zero respect for him as a brand. What a great day. We are rid of him. Hit the bricks, Vince. Go away forever. Don't ever come back.
Woo! That was some heat.
That is scathing.
That was some heat. And you know what, though? And, again, the one thing you wanted to touch on earlier, you talked about earlier, was the Owen Hart thing. That was 100% completely avoidable, and I completely understand why his wife and children basically want nothing to do with him. I completely understand, and obviously the Owen Hart Foundation, they having little to do with that. I completely understand why that was completely unavoidable. The whole Superman character, like rappelling from the ceiling, they didn't have to do any of that. And clearly, that was an example of Vince trying too hard, and that was. That was a really reckless decision to make. So that's a perfect. That's a really good example. Like the Chris Benoit thing, for example, where they jump right into a 3-hour thing. Now that's a catch 22 where Benoit was like before we realized what he did was honorable. It was received as honorable by all of his peers and everyone he worked with, and. People would have probably been upset, like, oh, like you're not going to honor a guy that's super honorable and it's perceived to be a really good guy in the company. So there's no way heads or tails about that. Like there's no way to escape that. But I think
the tweet that shows us the most is a tweet by Trevor Dame.
Okay.
Whenever the people say the wrestling media is too hard on the industry. Remember this day.
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Of the wrestling media covered Vince for decades and he suffered nearly a scratch. The Wall Street Journal writes 2 articles and he's done. That's partly an indictment on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, to be fair, I think if Meltzer had ever been like, I discovered Vince McMahon murdered the entire Little League dream and here's proof. I think the general public would have been like, sure he did, Dave. I'm not reading in that tiny font.
Yeah, no, I guess it would have depended on who
wrote it. That's the tweet I wanted to highlight.
Because Meltzer has been seen as like, some people hate Meltzer. So like, I guess it really does depend on the messenger. It truly does depend on the message. If it's somebody that's universally respected or universally loved in the wrestling community, I think, yeah. I think that now you got
to look at what you really need. And you look at what WWE the hierarchy of influence of WWE, which WrestleNomics. I'm going to share this. So I'm going to open this image in a new tab and share this tab here. So hierarchy of WWE influence. So you look at it, fans and feedback and wrestling media are the least of WWE's concerned.
Ooh, yes, I see that.
Because it's not apt for WWE to listen to fans anymore because it's not direct consumer business. Sometimes it is, but their ticket sales are not really their number one money.
No, their gate's for TV revenue. Their gate is TV, their gate is sponsorships. Yes, 100%. Their gate is TV and sponsorship primarily.
So, definitely. Number two would be talent. And number three would be negative mainstream attention and scrutiny. This is what got Vince gone. This is what got Vince to say, screw it, I'm out of here. Two Wall Street Journal articles. And he's done. He's done. And the corporate executives, looking at it, saying these two entities right here got it done. And we don't know what influence NBC, Universal, and Fox or business partners had on saying.
Yeah, considering how right wing Fox is, I think this is way more NBC based than Fox based. Considering how right winged and.
But remember, Roger Ailes got acts from Fox for lesser.
Fair. But like the perception of Fox News is that they are super right winged and super red. And Vince hasn't hid from it, but he's super red in terms of his affiliations. But I think NBC probably would have really snapped at him had he stayed throughout all this drama that he was going through. And I did find it a bit awkward, and I can understand if people found it distasteful. Like his last couple of appearances where he said like three sentences and then dip. Even after all this stuff came out, when the first abuse came out, like he was on, like it came out on the Friday, he was on that SmackDown
That SmackDown, Fightful reported that he said, literally, "F him."
Right, like that was I felt that was a bit distasteful. That was a bit distasteful to do that.
So, we'll move on to the torch here, where they had a lot on the fallout of this. And Wade will be expanding on it on a Wade Kyle hotline this weekend. And here are some written notes on the Wade Vince McMahon retirement situation after numerous conversations with many people in the wrestling industry after the news for a Friday afternoon, most of whom are currently with WWE. And there's a copyright. But we're crediting the torch. We are saying, this is PW Torch. Go to VIP.PWTorch. This is where I'm getting it from. And yes. So the first note is, Vince McMahon is really gone and is not expected to return in any capacity within WWE in the future. Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan are, as co-CEOs, are the two most powerful people in WWE as of today. Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, and Kevin Dunn are in the mix at the next level, although Triple H's power has risen and Pritchard and Dunn are primarily seen as Vince's guys. Friends and colleagues do not have any idea how Vince will handle this drastic change in his life. He has no hobbies or social life outside of WWE other than visiting his grandkids, and he has never had a clear schedule. He's been a workaholic his entire adult life. Some are worried for him. Others tell me they're just curious. One ex-WWE wrestler told me, what the F will he even do with himself? I worry about his health. His health will go down from this. some people are wondering if people who have left the company will return, such as former writers. I am told that's not in the plan.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Plans. For instance, Brian Gerwerz, who has a book coming out in the next month about his time in WWE, as including years as a head writer, is not expected to be returning. The key roles will be expected to be filled internally. Bruce Pritchard is expected to essentially be head of creative and lead director of Raw and SmackDown. Joy. Yeah, and remain... for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think Prince is a little, I think a little in that Vince camp of a bit outdated as well. I can buy that.
He was in gorilla position last night and on SmackDown ran the show. Stephanie McMahon will oversee him.
Okay.
Pritchard will oversee the top writers for TV, including Ed Koski on Raw, who's been there for many years, and Ryan Callahan on SmackDown. Both Koski and Callahan are likely secure their positions under Stephanie. Kevin Dunn, this is the big one, remains in his position and expected to remain there for a while, although he has never been seen as a Triple H guy or tight with Stephanie, so I'm told that it's unlikely he'll be there around a year from now, which is a joy.
Kevin Dunn a piece out. What, his contract runs out in a year?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, I think that
when Triple H was running NXT and building his team, the prevailing thought was he was setting up successors for Vince's main inner circle, including Dunn, whom he'd never been close to. This next note is about Triple H.
Okay.
Triple H gains power and influence both because of his official role as head of talent relations and because he's married to Stephanie McMahon, who is co-CEO.
Right.
He was officially announced as head of talent relations in a Friday press release this morning before Vince McMahon news broke. Mm-hmm. He is the most experienced person in those areas now that Vince McMahon is vacating, given that he essentially was Vince McMahon in NXT for all those years. Triple H is said to have good business acumen and impresses the right people in Wall Street. No crap.
Yeah, no kidding.
And business interactions, despite coming from the wrestler and the gym instead of the Ivy League business college world.
Changes on it. Triple H gets it. That Triple H understands.
Yeah. Changes on air and behind the scenes without Vince McMahon are anticipated to be gradual without priority, giving all the sense of stability to business partners, advertisers, and media stockholders and Wall Street. But there will be changes. But what do you think of all this note so far?
So far, I think if this is the start of the transition of the Triple H runs the wrestling side of things, and Stephanie and company run the business side of things, perfectly fine. I think that's the way this should be. The Triple H, I spoke about his stuff before with NXT, where when Triple H had control of it, NXT was their best stuff. It connected with the fans. It connected. It brought energy to WWE that they just didn't have. And that's something that WWE absolutely needs, is to go back to, like, can you imagine Raw, like the Raw and SmackDown over the last 7 years, 7, 8 years with NXT, with NXT 1.0's guts? We would think entirely differently of
and
Raw.
Maybe and AEW wouldn't have been created.
There you go. We would, because nobody would have been that frustrated with WWE or creative, and nobody would have dipped for AEW. So, yeah, imagine with those kinds of guts for 3 days a week as opposed to what used to be just one. How different things would be. So, I think you get closer to that, and it'll probably, I think it'll probably will take a year or so, because of Pritchard and Dunn and how influential they are, and we'll see how much they use their power respectively over the rest of their contracts. But it would not shock me at all if after their contracts run out, that neither come back.
Yeah.
And that Triple H just takes over and says, like, I got it. I just bring my team over from NXT 1.0 and we keep it moving. And we do it like we used to do and keep it moving. I can totally see that happening.
Multiple sources believe that Vince McMahon would have stayed longer. And the timing of his departure, just days before the Raw taking place in MSG, does point to this being a serious situation where he couldn't afford to wait any longer. Vince has always seen MSG as a special place and home base of sorts, and to not have one last show there he was part of indicates he felt the pressure to retire this week. It's just speculation at this point, but people are wondering if something else regarding Vince McMahon's conduct with women was about to come out, and if the timing of this retirement was him realizing that to protect the company he
had to go. Be,
yeah.
Now I thought about that too. I thought
the real sports one. The real sports one's coming out in August. I know that one for a fact. Everyone's pointing to that August 23rd date. That's going to be a wonderful.
So I'm off now. And that's going to be a nuke. Okay.
That's going to be a nuke. Chris Zellner tweeted, "Get your popcorn ready."
Okay.
So.
And they've been tight with HBO. So that's wild that HBO's gonna drop that bomb in a month. And I thought about that too.
Who's HBO owned by?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, there's that. Yeah, there's definitely that. And I thought about it. I was like, the timing of this retirement. I'm thinking like, wait, Raw's coming to the Garden, and then there's SummerSlam, and then we're now a week away from the second biggest show they have of the year. And I'm like, wow, this is the timing of it. I didn't think Vince would stay around for that long, much longer.
Stay on any longer.
But the timing is what? Yeah, I guess he had to go. And like, part of me was thinking, like, is he gonna come back and like say it's like public goodbye in the Garden, because like he's talking about how his family built the Garden back in the 60s or something. Like is. That part, I would doubt it now, considering what the damage that's as the nukes that's about to be dropped in a month.
Yeah.
And now the other thought. You remember the whole Brock Lesnar drama? Like, Brock Lesnar walked out of SmackDown. Now he came back, and he was there in the end, and he destroyed Theory. But it seems to me that Brock was way more of a Vince guy than he is a Hunter guy. That's what it feels like. So, like. That impact of it is also going to be, I think, major. What guys are going to, I guess, be treated, I guess, a little differently in terms of, like, their style or booking or whatever. And women, too. What style, like, their style or their booking or whatever, as opposed with Hunter, as opposed to Vince. So that part will also be very interesting to see.
You lost my point. If WWE were sold in the next few years, which now becomes likely, Vince will have to approve the sale. He could also initiate a sale and do so in a way that the remaining power base wouldn't like. As a result, he has no day-to-day influence. There will be an effort to not upset him with the changes that are made or how his people are treated, or how he is talked about publicly. It is in everybody's best business interest to keep Vince McMahon happy during this transition. Joy. While often the term business as usual is to describe TV these days at WWE, on big news weeks, the people I communicated with and indicated the vibe of SmackDown was never, both because of Vince's retirement and the Brock walkout, adding more uncertainty. Still, everyone had a job to do and they focused on that. People are more on edge, but there was some excitement for sure about the positive changes that were the result. WWE wrestlers were told a few weeks ago that Vince McMahon was there to stay. Whether that was a sincere belief or just an attempt to create stability amidst a developing storm of controversy is unknown. However, being told that, many wrestlers are surprised, if not just, about the news of Vince's retirement. All wrestlers I have contacted since the news broke are bracing for a possible change, or hoping that this news is good news for them. Mm. Every wrestler should expect to be reevaluated by the new creative structure, and in the coming months, significant changes could be made to who is or who isn't getting pushed. Exciting. Vince McMahon's opinion on many wrestlers isn't necessarily shared to those who are now in charge. So some wrestlers will move up card, and others will move down. He will be de-emphasized or find the roles changed. It will be within the flow of storytelling, though, and not through a massive reset. One retired ex-WWE main eventer told me, "I think WWE will change in a great way now. It will no longer be seen through the eyes of a 77-year-old billionaire."
Mm.
This is a former main eventer saying that.
I think that's 100% true. I think that's the way it should be. The wrestling has changed, where it's no longer the 6'4", 6'5", 270, like the Batista types of dudes, where like you're 6'3", or 4", or 5", 260 to 300 pounds, and you're chiseled out of granite, and you're almost automatically shot at the charts. Or you're like, it's no longer everyone that just looks like Trish Stratus, where it's like, you look gorgeous, and you just shot up the charts. Like, it's no longer like that. I think that's a great thing. It's not to say that there aren't women who aren't attractive, who are doing their thing, or are good wrestlers in the company. It's just saying, like, that's not a prerequisite anymore. And I think that's perfectly fine.
Stephanie and Nick Khan are being named co-CEOs, raised my eyebrows. Stephanie has long desired that position. Jerry Jarrett told me 20 years ago about a dinner he attended with the McMahons when Stephanie was barely a teenager, where Stephanie asserted that she planned to take over for her dad someday. She spoke up when someone at the dinner table said something about Shane someday following her father's death. So she had visions of this a while.
She knew this day was coming. And I think it's perfectly fine that Stephanie, well, not that Shane, because Shane does run other businesses, I do believe. Shane's not coming back. No, Shane's not coming back, no. But, like, Shane is a businessman to an extent, but this was never... I always thought of the heir apparent to WWE being Stephanie as opposed to Shane. It's just in her blood more. Like, Stephanie, like, values, like, wrestling as a business more, I think, than Shane did. I think Shane is way more like Shane. I think wanted to be an entrepreneur and kind of establish himself away from WWE. So I could totally see this. I could totally see this as a thing.
A recent Harvard Business article noted that less than 5% of Fortune 1200 and Russell 1000 companies have had co-CEOs over the past 25-year span. And it's not, but it's not unheard of. Stephanie and Nick Khan aren't said to be super close, but they aren't also enemies. They will have to navigate this sensitive time period together with the mutual goal of making positive changes and give off a sense of calm and steadiness to outsiders considered that the post-Vince McMahon WWE. Concerned about post-Vince McMahon WWE. Whether they are co-CEOs in 2 years is anyone's guess. But it's not being ruled out as this could work out very well. They bring both different strengths, and they just tell about the territorial overlap and everything like
okay.
that. Khan's, that said, Khan was part of the time period and the decision making when Triple H lost his NXT power, and a lot of his infrastructure was dismantled. So it was the belief internally that there was some work to do to build trust and rapport.
Mm.
But there's also a sense that they're open to working things out under this new situation. One person that I talked with said Triple H was not the one to hold a grudge and is hardwired to bury hatchets with people he had conflict with.
Okay.
Of course he is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Triple F and H.
He knows how to adapt. Triple H has always known how to adapt. Like he always knows how to... He doesn't like to bite hands that feed him either, which I totally understand. And I think that's a very smart, savvy move to make. I would say.
I thought this note was interesting. The women's wrestlers in WWE seem the most optimistic. Stephanie is a beloved key woman in the division, and there's faith that she'll improve their TV time and their presentation, also given them more creative voice behind the scenes. There's also belief in some among WWE that the return of Sasha Banks and Naomi is on the table.
I saw something about that. We're like, Sasha Banks and Bayley as well are way more Triple H women than they are Vince women. And yeah. that the return of Sasha is, I think it's way more possible than Sasha returns. Like, yeah, well, like, will Sasha pay a fine, and Naomi too? Well, will Sasha and Naomi pay fines for walking out the way they did? Will they be disappointed? Absolutely they will be. It's happened with CM Punk. CM Punk didn't really come back. Like, it happened with Austin, and it's happened with other people who walked out. Yeah. So, I fully expect that to, like, have, like, they'll pay a fine, and then the both of them will be back, and then I'd imagine Sasha will probably still get pushed to the moon. Naomi, maybe. But I would imagine Sasha would absolutely get pushed to the moon because of how big her star power is and how good of a wrestler she is.
Former TNA owner, co-founder Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett.
We have to talk about him.
It's our ride that he's the special guest ref in that tag match.
And main eventing the Ric Flair last match.
Yeah. Apparently, I hear it's a series of matches. I hear they're going to barnstorm the country and like do like several of these matches.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which is really bad. From what I saw, I think it was on Twitter, where like Sasha, where, what was it? It's Flair and Andrade versus Jeff Jarrett and
Jay Lethal.
Yeah, and Jay Lethal. Yeah, right, Jay Lethal. And like they're gonna like do a couple of these. Like I don't think this is.
They're building this as a third last match, so yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen.
I hope that's the case. But yes. Flair really is doing this last match.
Jeff Jarrett always wins.
He really does. He really does. He really does.
Former TNA co-founder Jeff Jarrett might be someone to watch. Of course he is. He's a fucking... Oh, my bad. I can edit that out.
You'll edit that out. It's okay. You can edit
He's
that out.
He's a snake.
He is. He really is.
Like Triple H, he has experience running a whole roster of top management positions. He was promoted under Senior Vice President of Live Events in May. That being said, he appears to be closest to Bruce Pritchard, not Nick Khan nor Stephanie McMahon. So he's probably going to stay well and do a specific job and try to endear himself to whomever is likely to have power when Bruce Pritchard inevitably goes away over time.
Mm.
Another one to watch out for, Cody! He was the EVP at AEW and has
been
booking and promoting. Triple H and Dusty Rhodes were close to NXT, and Cody said Triple H was one of his favorite wrestlers.
Right.
Pritchard could forge a bond over time, and it could lead to Cody being a player behind the scenes in WWE. That being said, in his early months of the company, Cody didn't impress some key people in management who just weren't sure how long it would take him to since he has a distinct personality and a particular approach about how he carries himself behind the scenes. There is some curiosity in how Shane McMahon fits into this, or if he'll ever try to insert himself into the situation. The divide between Shane and Stephanie is said to be firm, and any jealousy or attempts to interrupt the situation won't be well received by basically anyone in key positions in management at this point. Shane doesn't have much of a way of any personal alliances left. And then the last note. This was a long one. This was like 2,000 characters. AEW wrestlers I've communicated with, especially those expiring deals this year, and discontent with Tony Khan's booking, see this as a big positive development. Of course they do.
Yeah,
wrestlers who wouldn't have expected WWE to show them interest under Vince McMahon's leadership now see a whole potential new option for themselves.
It's a whole new game, yeah.
It's a whole new game. So that's the, unless if Observer has anything or Fightful has anything, that's the latest on Vince.
Okay, so I do wonder about this, though. Does MJF, what does he do now? As much as he's talked about going to WWE at the start of 2024 and or whenever he gets out of his AEW contract, what does he do? Was he a Vince guy? He seems like a Vince guy because of his name and his promo work. He seems like more of a Vince guy than a Triple H guy. What does he do? Is he one to be of the Triple H? Is he one that he would go to WWE now? Or would he dip? Or would he go back? Well, I don't know about crawling back to AEW, but what does he do? That part is interesting to me. So, the AEW door part of it, I think, 100%, that becomes a very, very interesting piece. I think when we see new people come in, that's going to be very telling. Cody made sense the moment he left AEW. Cody made sense to come back to WWE. Because with Vince, or whether Vince or Triple H guy, because of how well the relationship with Dusty and how Triple H values Dusty, that made a ton of sense. That was obvious. But yeah, what happens with people who leave AEW and are thinking, oh, they're gonna make more money in WWE, let's go there. I was like, there are cats who just won't come back. Like CM Punk, I don't expect ever to come back. Or Moxley, I don't expect to ever come back. But there are dudes who I think would. I wonder what happens.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Exactly. It's like, I just think, I don't know. It's really weird. Because you want to be booked by somebody.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very discerning situation. What are your closing thoughts on this?
Vince has a very troubled, it's a very mixed legacy. There is some good because the business of wrestling and wrestling as a whole is not what it is now without him putting it on the stage that he put it on. But then the person that is Vince of two things, one in the wrestling world and one outside of it, obviously. Inside of it, he cut off his nose to spite his face way too much. And there are times where he tried way, way, way too hard to put a handful of people on and try to have those handful of people carry the shows as they did and as they're doing right now with the Bloodline and Roman. We're pretty much Raw and or SmackDown is 90% Roman. It's like a whole lot of Roman and a whole lot of Becky and a whole lot of Ronda, and the mid card is basically ignored. And the tag teams are basically ignored. Outside of the Usos, New Day, pretty much anyone that can generate money, Street Profits, pretty much anyone can generate money. And then that's the cold call, no spite face part. And then obviously the stuff outside of wrestling, which is all the drama he's gotten in over the years, the drama he's currently into now, like how he beat cases with Turner and with Hogan and like assault cases like that and all this stuff. So it's a mixed bag with Vince. And I do think it's absolutely time for a change. I think it's been time for a change for a couple of years now. I was just watching NXT and how I loved NXT up until 2.0, where I like it now, but it's not as good, anywhere near as good as it was. And a lot of that was Triple H. And like I'm seeing what Triple H can do and how Triple H is booked and how the energy of the shows was dope, was better back at 1.0 as opposed to 2. So like it's just, I think it is time for a change. And I would like to see what Raw and SmackDown would look like if it had 1.0 guts. And I think Raw, SmackDown, and NXT would all be looked at entirely different. It would all be looked at as, oh, we got to watch Raw. Oh, we got to watch SmackDown. And oh, we got to watch NXT. So now you got 4 out of 5 days of the week where it's like, okay, we got bangers coming up. And then the takeovers become hot. And the main card pay-per-views become hot again. And like, let's get back to that. And then we can watch AEW as a different change of pace with AEW speed and all that stuff. And that becomes better because iron sharpens iron and competition gets better. So I hope Triple H and Stephanie and their team can take it to where that needs to be. I wish them well. And I think that I ultimately think that Triple H is going to succeed. But as opposed to Vince, it's kind of a mixed bag. And it's kind of how, honestly, I kind of view Joe Paterno in this way, where he did a lot of good. And there's a whole lot of things that he could have done a whole lot better than he didn't do.
Right.
And so, like, I don't. And like when I go up there to State College, like every now and again, I see the whole 409 stuff and the Joe Pa stuff. Like, I salute Joe Paterno for what he did, but I don't view him as a deity. I don't view him as a legendary figure. And I think of Vince the same way. Like, I don't view him as a deity. I view him as somebody who did a whole lot and did a whole lot for the business, but I don't view him as like a all-knowing, all-seeing, godlike figure. So I guess that's where I am with this.
No one should see anybody like a godlike figure. If anyone has that type of cult of personality to begin with,
Vince does. Vince definitely does.
That goes with anything, but especially in wrestling, it's just like these brain-rotted WWE fans are going to cheer in no matter what. And it's like, you know, this guy sexually harassed at least 4 women. We know at least 5, actually.
Right. Because of the money he got.
The tanning and so on.
Because of how much money. Yeah. Think about this, though. Remember CM Punk's pipe bomb? Didn't CM Punk point to a whole lot of this? During that pipe bomb? He talked about, he should have been, the line was like, he's a millionaire who should be a billionaire, but he makes a whole lot of stupid decisions that get that basically cut off his nose and spite his face. So like obviously he didn't like what Triple H and Stephanie where he didn't think that they would be good, but there's a good amount of that pipe bomb that is actually facts right now, and that's wild. The 10-year anniversary of that just happened it was 11-year anniversary just happened not too long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild.
I think the real day that Vince McMahon deserves his praise is when he's dead. But this is not the day for that. This is not the day. He deserves to live the rest of his life in disgrace. Honestly. But let's be honest here. He got away with a lot of stuff.
He sure did. He beat the case a lot. These guys are real good lawyers. He beat the case a lot.
Jerry McDivitt is a very good lawyer, okay?
Yeah, he is. I don't know if he's going to beat this one, but he's beating a lot of... He's beating the case a lot. If
he
beat
this one, he would still be in.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. 100%.
He may not be facing jail time, but he's not the face of the company anymore.
Yeah.
I never thought this day would come.
I didn't think so either. I thought it would come when Vince was dead. I really thought this would come when Vince was dead. I legitimately thought it, like, when, like...
I thought he would have a heart attack in Gorilla.
I legitimately thought, yeah, like Vince would like pass away at some point, like, and then that's how Stephanie and Triple H would come like run the show.
But it's like, he's a very complicated guy, but I'm not going to be the one who has the acumen. I'm not going to be the one who. I read a lot of Joe Lanza's article, and I agree with 100% of that article, because that article lays out almost everyone, major one, that he either stole or took and tried to mold into his vision and made less money. So, it's hard to end this show because it's like, I want to end on a really poignant statement, but hit the bricks, Vince. Hit the bricks. It's time to get in the ring.
The game plugs. Has changed.
Plugs.
Twitter.com. Beast Mike on Twitter is where you can find me. I've been doing this show called A Stereo to Me with the guy I know very well, Dave the Stepdad. You can find us on, we'll actually be on Spaces later tonight to talk about this as well. We'll get his side of it, this side of things. So you can catch me at Beast Mike on Twitter and Instagram.
I may join you.
Yeah, so you can jump in as well. Everybody can jump in. Everybody can jump in to the Spaces that we're going to drop later this evening. And we'll talk about Vince, and obviously, I think we'll talk about Vince, I think, on a lighter tone. Like, it probably won't be anywhere near as dark as this, but I do think this did need...
I think it needed to happen, because...
It needed to be brought up, 100%.
We can't be talking about legacy here without...
Yeah. No, you gotta talk about the good and the bad. I think the bad parts of it are part of his legacy. So this is why, like, this is why I said what I said earlier, like, where it's like, okay, like the Vince, like the stuff that you've seen and then the stuff that you haven't, I think it's intertwined. It all makes sense. It all should be mentioned. So yeah, no, like our Spaces conversation probably won't be anywhere near as serious as this.
Right.
But this did need to happen. So we 100% did need to go there. So I'm good with that. So I'm good with a different perspective here to talk about, like, more so Vince the person as a more so Vince the character. So I think that's
but
perfectly.
Even in Joe Lanza's article, he said it's hard to separate the act from the actor, or the art from the artist.
Yeah, that's art imitates. They say the phrase art imitates life, and there's some instances. But well, wasn't it said that there are some instances in wrestling where, like, I think they're talking about a Ric Flair's Rivals show. Oh, I think it was on USA. But they were talking about,
A&E.
Like... Huh?
A&E it was on.
A&E and I think USA like did it too, where they talked about how Ric Flair's... And ESPN's Ric Flair 30 for 30, where he talked about how life and, like, life on the road and wrestling, like, kind of... And the wrestling character with Ric Flair all became one, basically. So, and it's the thought of it is, like, there are some people in the wrestling industry where that happens, where life on the road and life in general becomes one and the same, and people just turn into, like, a different, entirely different monster. I think that's, in Vince's case, I think 100% true. Life imitates art, and I think Vince, life on the road and life as the figurehead of Vince McMahon, where he's the billionaire, like, he wants to be a playboy, where he thinks he can get anything and everything he wants to, basically by snapping his fingers and do what he wants without reprimand or reproach. And I think that's 100% true. I think he tried to make life imitate that kind of art. So I think that makes a ton of sense as to why we're we look at this as well.
In a world where he was the big guy.
Yes. The only world where he could be the guy and not have any type of consequence, at least on screen, is the one that he created. Yes.
Right. DJ D Kooks on Twitter. I've been retweeting a lot of stuff.
Yep.
I've been basically on this Vince story since it happened with retweets, with my own thoughts. And yeah, it's just a damning day. I'm just going to say a damning day in the overrated, complicated legacy of Vince McMahon.